The Bull and the Calf. A bull was striving with all his might to squeeze himself through a narrow passage which led to his stall. A young calf came up and offered to go before and show him the way by which he could manage to pass. "Save yourself the trouble," said the bull. "I knew that way long before you were born." The Peacock and the Crane. A peacock spreading its gorgeous tail mocked a crane that passed by, ridiculing the ashen hue of its plumage and saying, "I am robed, like a king, in gold and purple and all the colors of the rainbow, while you have not a bit of color on your wings." "True," replied the crane, "but I soar to the heights of heaven, and lift up my voice to the stars, while you walk below, like a cock, among the birds of the dunghill. Fine feathers don't make fine birds." The Fox and the Hedgehog. A fox swimming across a rapid river was carried by the force of the current into a very deep ravine, where he lay for a long time very much bruised, sick, and unable to move. A swarm of hungry blood-sucking flies settled upon him. A hedgehog, passing by, saw his anguish and inquired if he should drive away the flies that were tormenting him. "By no means," replied the fox, "pray do not molest them." "How is this?" said the hedgehog. "Do you not want to be rid of them?" "No," returned the fox, "for these flies, which you see are full of blood, and sting me but little, and if you rid me of these which are already satiated, others more hungry will come in their place, and will drink up all the blood I have left." The Eagle, the Cat, and the Wild Sow. An eagle made her nest at the top of a lofty oak. A cat, having found a convenient hole, moved into the middle of the trunk, and a wild sow, with her young, took shelter in a hollow at its foot. The cat cunningly resolved to destroy this chance-made colony. To carry out her design, she climbed to the nest of the eagle, and said, "Destruction is preparing for you, and for me too, unfortunately. The wild sow, whom you see daily digging up the earth, wishes to uproot the oak, so she may on its fall seize our families, as food for her young." Having thus frightened the eagle out of her senses, she crept down to the cave of the sow, and said, "Your children are in great danger, for as soon as you go out with your litter to find food, the eagle is prepared to pounce upon one of your little pigs." Having instilled these fears into the sow, she went and pretended to hide herself in the hollow of the tree. When night came, she went forth with silent foot and obtained food for herself and her kittens, but feigning to be afraid, she kept a lookout all through the day. Meanwhile, the eagle, full of fear of the sow, sat still on the branches, and the sow, terrified by the eagle, did not dare to go out from her cave. And thus they both, along with their families, perished from hunger, and afforded ample provision for the cat and her kittens. The Thief and the Innkeeper. A thief hired a room in a tavern, and stayed a while in the hope of stealing something, which should enable him to pay his reckoning. When he had waited some days in vain, he saw the innkeeper dressed in a new and handsome coat, and sitting before his door. The thief sat down beside him and talked with him. As the conversation began to flag, the thief yawned terribly and at the same time howled like a wolf. The innkeeper said, "Why do you howl so fearfully?" "I will tell you," said the thief, "but first let me ask you to hold my clothes, or I shall tear them to pieces." "I know not, sir, when I got this habit of yawning, nor whether these attacks of howling were inflicted on me as a judgment for my crimes, or for any other cause, but this I do know, that when I yawn for the third time, I actually turn into a wolf and attack men." With this speech he commenced a second fit of yawning and again howled like a wolf, as he had at first. The innkeeper, hearing his tale and believing what he said, became greatly alarmed and, rising from his seat, attempted to run away. The thief laid hold of his coat and entreated him to stop, saying, "Pray wait, sir, and hold my clothes, or I shall tear them to pieces in my fury, when I turn into a wolf." At the same moment he yawned the third time and set up a terrible howl. The innkeeper, Frightened lest he should be attacked, left his new coat in the thief's hand, and ran as fast as he could into the inn for safety. The thief made off with the coat, and did not return again to the inn. Every tale is not to be believed. The mule. A mule, frolicsome from lack of work and from too much corn, galloped about in a very extravagant manner, and said to himself, "My father surely was a high-mettled racer, and I'm his own child in speed and spirit." On the next day, being driven a long journey, and feeling very wearied, he exclaimed in a disconsolate tone, "I must have made a mistake. My father, after all, could have been only an ass." The hart and the vine. A hart, hard pressed in the chase, hid himself beneath the large leaves of a vine. The huntsmen, in their haste, overshot the place of his concealment. Supposing all danger to have passed, the hart began to nibble the tendrils of the vine. One of the huntsmen, attracted by the rustling of the leaves, looked back, and seeing the hart, shot an arrow from his bow and struck it. The hart, at the point of death, groaned, "I am rightly served, for I should not have maltreated the vine that saved me." The serpent and the eagle. A serpent and an eagle were struggling with each other in deadly conflict. The serpent had the advantage, and was about to strangle the bird. A countryman saw them, and running up, loosed the coil of the serpent and let the eagle go free. The serpent, irritated at the escape of his prey, injected his poison into the drinking horn of the countryman. The rustic, ignorant of his danger, was about to drink, when the eagle struck his hand with his wing, and, seizing the drinking horn in his talons, carried it aloft. The crow and the pitcher. A crow, perishing with thirst, saw a pitcher, and hoping to find water, flew to it with delight. When he reached it, he discovered to his grief that it contained so little water that he could not possibly get at it. He tried everything he could think of to reach the water, but all his efforts were in vain. At last he collected as many stones as he could carry, and dropped them one by one with his beak into the pitcher, until he brought the water within his reach and thus saved his life. Necessity is the mother of invention. The two frogs. Two frogs were neighbors. One inhabited a deep pond, far removed from public view, the other lived in a gully containing little water, and traversed by a country road. The frog that lived in the pond warned his friend to change his residence, and entreated him to come and live with him, saying that he would enjoy greater safety from danger and more abundant food. The other refused, saying that he felt it so very hard to leave a place to which he had become accustomed. A few days afterwards a heavy wagon passed through the gully and crushed him to death under its wheels. A willful man will have his way to his own hurt. The wolf and the fox. At one time a very large and strong wolf was born among the wolves, who exceeded all his fellow wolves in strength, size, and swiftness, so that they unanimously decided to call him Lion. The wolf, with a lack of sense proportioned to his enormous size, thought that they gave him this name in earnest, and, leaving his own race, consorted exclusively with the lions. An old sly fox, seeing this, said, "May I never make myself so ridiculous as you do in your pride and self-conceit, for even though you have the size of a lion among wolves, in a herd of lions you are definitely a wolf." The walnut tree. A walnut tree standing by the roadside bore an abundant crop of fruit. For the sake of the nuts, the passers-by broke its branches with stones and sticks. The walnut tree piteously exclaimed, "O wretched me! That those whom I cheer with my fruit should repay me with these painful requitals." The gnat and the lion. A gnat came and said to a lion, "I do not in the least fear you, nor are you stronger than I am. For in what does your strength consist? You can scratch with your claws, and bite with your teeth on a woman in her quarters. I repeat that I am altogether more powerful than you, and if you doubt it, let us fight and see who will conquer." The gnat, having sounded his horn, fastened himself upon the lion, and stung him on the nostrils and the parts of the face devoid of hair. While trying to crush him, the lion tore himself with his claws, until he punished himself severely. The gnat thus prevailed over the lion, and, buzzing about in a song of triumph, flew away. But shortly afterwards he became entangled in the meshes of a cobweb and was eaten by a spider. He greatly lamented his fate, saying, "Woe is me! That I, who can wage war successfully with the hugest beasts, should perish myself from this spider, the most inconsiderable of insects." The Monkey and the Dolphin. A sailor, bound on a long voyage, took with him a monkey to amuse him while on shipboard. As he sailed off the coast of Greece, a violent tempest arose, in which the ship was wrecked and he, his monkey, and all the crew were obliged to swim for their lives. A dolphin saw the monkey contending with the waves, and supposing him to be a man, whom he is always said to befriend, came and placed himself under him, to convey him on his back in safety to the shore. When the dolphin arrived with his burden in sight of land not far from Athens, he asked the monkey if he were an Athenian. The latter replied that he was, and that he was descended from one of the most noble families in that city. The dolphin then inquired if he knew the Piraeus, the famous harbor of Athens. Supposing that a man was meant, the monkey answered that he knew him very well, and that he was an intimate friend. The dolphin, indignant at these falsehoods, dipped the monkey under the water and drowned him. The Jackdaw and the Doves. A jackdaw, seeing some doves in a cote abundantly provided with food, painted himself white and joined them in order to share their plentiful maintenance. The doves, as long as he was silent, supposed him to be one of themselves and admitted him to their cote. But when one day he forgot himself and began to chatter, they discovered his true character and drove him forth, pecking him with their beaks. Failing to obtain food among the doves, he returned to the jackdaws. They too, not recognizing him on account of his color, expelled him from living with them. So desiring two ends, he obtained neither. The horse and the stag. At one time the horse had the plain entirely to himself. Then a stag intruded into his domain and shared his pasture. The horse, desiring to revenge himself on the stranger, asked a man if he were willing to help him in punishing the stag. The man replied that if the horse would receive a bit in his mouth and agree to carry him, he would contrive effective weapons against the stag. The horse consented and allowed the man to mount him. From that hour he found that instead of obtaining revenge on the stag, he had enslaved himself to the service of man. The Kid and the Wolf. A kid, returning without protection from the pasture, was pursued by a wolf. Seeing he could not escape, he turned round and said, "I know, friend wolf, that I must be your prey, but before I die I would ask of you one favor. You will play me a tune to which I may dance." The wolf complied, and while he was piping and the kid was dancing, some hounds hearing the sound ran up and began chasing the wolf. Turning to the kid, he said, "It is just what I deserve, for I, who am only a butcher, should not have turned piper to please you." The Prophet. A wizard, sitting in the marketplace, was telling the fortunes of the passers-by when a person ran up in great haste, and announced to him that the doors of his house had been broken open, and that all his goods were being stolen. He sighed heavily and hastened away as fast as he could run. A neighbor saw him running and said, "Oh, you fellow there! You say you can foretell the fortunes of others, how is it you did not foresee your own?" The Fox and the Monkey. A fox and a monkey were traveling together on the same road. As they journeyed, they passed through a cemetery full of monuments. "All these monuments which you see," said the monkey, "are erected in honor of my ancestors, who were in their day freedmen and citizens of great renown." The fox replied, "You have chosen a most appropriate subject for your falsehoods, as I am sure none of your ancestors will be able to contradict you. A false tale often betrays itself." The Thief and the Hound Dog. A thief came in the night to break into a house. He brought with him several slices of meat in order to pacify the house dog, so that he would not alarm his master by barking. As the thief threw him the pieces of meat, the dog said, "If you think to stop my mouth, you will be greatly mistaken. This sudden kindness at your hands will only make me more watchful, lest under these unexpected favors to myself, you have some private ends to accomplish for your own benefit, and for my master's injury." The man, the horse, the ox, and the dog. A horse, ox, and dog, driven to great straits by the cold, sought shelter and protection from man. He received them kindly, lighted a fire, and warmed them. He let the horse make free with his oats, gave the ox an abundance of hay, and fed the dog with meat from his own table. Grateful for these favors, the animals determined to repay him to the best of their ability. For this purpose, they divided the term of his life between them, and each endowed one portion of it with the qualities which chiefly characterized himself. The horse chose his earliest years and gave them his own attributes. Hence every man is in his youth impetuous, headstrong, and obstinate in maintaining his own opinion. The ox took under his patronage the next term of life, and therefore man in his middle age is fond of work, devoted to labor, and resolute to amass wealth and to husband his resources. The end of life was reserved for the dog, wherefore the old man is often snappish, irritable, hard to please, and selfish, tolerant only of his own household, but averse to strangers and to all who do not administer to his comfort or to his necessities. The Apes and the Two Travelers. Two men, one who always spoke the truth and the other who told nothing but lies, were traveling together and by chance came to the land of apes. One of the apes, who had raised himself to be king, commanded them to be seized and brought before him, that he might know what was said of him among men. He ordered at the same time that all the apes be arranged in a long row on his right hands and on his left, and that a throne be placed for him, as was the custom among men. After these preparations he signified that the two men should be brought before him, and greeted them with this salutation, "What sort of a king do I seem to you to be, O strangers?" The lying traveler replied, "You seem to me a most mighty king." "And what is your estimate of those you see around me?" "These," he made answer, "are worthy companions of yourself, fit at least to be ambassadors and leaders of armies." The ape and all his court, gratified with the lie, commanded that a handsome present be given to the flatterer. On this the truthful traveler thought to himself, "If so great a reward be given for a lie, with what gift may not I be rewarded?" "If, according to my custom, I tell the truth," the ape quickly turned to him. "And pray how do I and these my friends around me seem to you?" "Thou art," he said, "a most excellent ape, and all these thy companions after thy example are excellent apes too." The king of the apes, enraged at hearing these truths, gave him over to the teeth and claws of his companions. The Wolf and the Shepherd. A wolf followed a flock of sheep for a long time, and did not attempt to injure one of them. The shepherd at first stood on his guard against him, as against an enemy, and kept a strict watch over his movements. But when the wolf, day after day, kept in the company of the sheep, and did not make the slightest effort to seize them, the shepherd began to look upon him as a guardian of his flock rather than as a plotter of evil against it, and when occasion called him one day into the city, he left the sheep entirely in his charge. The wolf, now that he had the opportunity, fell upon the sheep, and destroyed the greater part of the flock. When the shepherd returned to find his flock destroyed, he exclaimed, "I have been rightly served. Why did I trust my sheep to a wolf?" The Hares and the Lions. The hares harangued the assembly, and argued that all should be equal. The lions made this reply, "Your words, O hares, are good, but they lack both claws and teeth such as we have." The Lark and her young ones. A lark had made her nest in the early spring on the young green wheat. The brood had almost grown to their full strength, and attained the use of their wings and the full plumage of their feathers, when the owner of the field, looking over his ripe crop, said, "The time has come when I must ask all my neighbors to help me with my harvest." One of the young larks heard his speech and related it to his mother, inquiring of her to what place they should move for safety. "There is no occasion to move yet, my son," she replied. "The man who only sends to his friends to help him with his harvest is not really in earnest." The owner of the field came again a few days later and saw the wheat shedding the grain from excess of ripeness. He said, "I will come myself tomorrow with my laborers and with as many reapers as I can hire, and we'll get in the harvest." The lark, on hearing these words, said to her brood, "It is time now to be off, my little ones, for the man is in earnest this time. He no longer trusts his friends, but will reap the field himself. Self-help is the best help." The Fox and the Lion. When a fox who had never yet seen a lion fell in with him by chance for the first time in the forest, he was so frightened that he nearly died with fear. On meeting him for the second time, he was still much alarmed, but not to the same extent as at first. On seeing him the third time, he so increased in boldness that he went up to him and commenced a familiar conversation with him. Acquaintance softens prejudices. The Weasel and the Mice. A weasel, inactive from age and infirmities, was not able to catch mice as he once did. He therefore rolled himself in flour and lay down in a dark corner. A mouse, supposing him to be food, leapt upon him, and was instantly caught and squeezed to death. Another perished in a similar manner, and then a third, and still others after them. A very old mouse, who had escaped many a trap and snare, observed from a safe distance the trick of his crafty foe and said, "Ah! You that lie there, may you prosper just in the same proportion as you are what you pretend to be." The Boy Bathing. A boy bathing in a river was in danger of being drowned. He called out to a passing traveler for help, but instead of holding out a helping hand, the man stood by unconcernedly and scolded the boy for his imprudence. "Oh, sir," cried the youth, "pray help me now and scold me afterwards. Counsel without help is useless." The Ass and the Wolf. An ass feeding in a meadow saw a wolf approaching to seize him, and immediately pretended to be lame. The wolf, coming up, inquired the cause of his lameness. The ass replied that passing through a hedge he had trod with his foot upon a sharp thorn. He requested that the wolf pull it out, lest when he ate him it should injure his throat. The wolf consented and lifted up the foot, and was giving his whole mind to the discovery of the thorn, when the ass, with his heels, kicked his teeth into his mouth and galloped away. The wolf, being thus fearfully mauled, said, "I am rightly served, for why did I attempt the art of healing, when my father only taught me the trade of a butcher?" The Seller of Images. A certain man made a wooden image of Mercury and offered it for sale. When no one appeared willing to buy it, in order to attract purchasers, he cried out that he had the statue to sell of a benefactor who bestowed wealth and helped to heap up riches. One of the bystanders said to him, "My good fellow, why do you sell him, being such a one as you describe, when you may yourself enjoy the good things he has to give?" "Why," he replied, "I am in need of immediate help, and he is wont to give his good gifts very slowly." The Fox and the Grapes. A famished fox saw some clusters of ripe black grapes hanging from a trellised vine. She resorted to all her tricks to get at them, but wearied herself in vain, for she could not reach them. At last she turned away, hiding her disappointment and saying, "The grapes are sour, and not ripe as I thought." The Man and His Wife. A man had a wife, who made herself hated by all the members of his household. Wishing to find out if she had the same effect on the persons in her father's house, he made some excuse to send her home on a visit to her father. After a short time she returned, and when he inquired how she had got on and how the servants had treated her, she replied, "The herdsmen and shepherds cast on me looks of aversion." He said, "O wife, If you were disliked by those who go out early in the morning with their flocks, and return late in the evening, what must have been felt towards you by those with whom you passed the whole day? Straws show how the wind blows. The peacock and Juno. The peacock made complaint to Juno that, while the nightingale pleased every ear with his song, he himself no sooner opened his mouth than he became a laughingstock to all who heard him. The goddess, to console him, said, "But you far excel in beauty and in size. The splendor of the emerald shines in your neck and you unfold a tail gorgeous with painted plumage." "But for what purpose have I," said the bird, "this dumb beauty so long as I am surpassed in song?" "The lot of each," replied Juno, "has been assigned by the will of the fates, to thee, beauty; to the eagle, strength; to the nightingale, song; to the raven, favorable; and to the crow, unfavorable auguries. These are all contented with the endowments allotted to them." The hawk and the nightingale. A nightingale, sitting aloft upon an oak and singing according to his wont, was seen by a hawk who, being in need of food, swooped down and seized him. The nightingale, about to lose his life, earnestly begged the hawk to let him go, saying that he was not big enough to satisfy the hunger of a hawk who, if he wanted food, ought to pursue the larger birds. The hawk, interrupting him, said, "I should indeed have lost my senses if I should let go food ready in my hand, for the sake of pursuing birds, which are not yet even within sight." The dog, the cock, and the fox. A dog and a cock, being great friends, agreed to travel together. At nightfall they took shelter in a thick wood. The cock, flying up, perched himself on the branches of a tree, while the dog found a bed beneath in the hollow trunk. When the morning dawned, the cock, as usual, crowed very loudly several times. A fox heard the sound, and wishing to make a breakfast on him, came and stood under the branches, saying how earnestly he desired to make the acquaintance of the owner of so magnificent a voice. The cock, suspecting his civilities, said, "Sir, I wish you would do me the favor of going around to the hollow trunk below me, and waking my porter, so that he may open the door and let you in." When the fox approached the tree, the dog sprang out and caught him, and tore him to pieces. The wolf and the goat. A wolf saw a goat feeding at the summit of a steep precipice, where he had no chance of reaching her. He called to her, and earnestly begged her to come lower down, lest she fall by some mishap, and he added that the meadows lay where he was standing, and that the herbage was most tender. She replied, "No, my friend, it is not for the pasture that you invite me, but for yourself, who are in want of food." The lion and the bull. A lion, greatly desiring to capture a bull, and yet afraid to attack him on account of his great size, resorted to a trick to ensure his destruction. He approached the bull and said, "I have slain a fine sheep, my friend, and if you will come home and partake of him with me, I shall be delighted to have your company." The lion said this in the hope that, as the bull was in the act of reclining to eat, he might attack him to advantage, and make his meal on him. The bull, on approaching the lion's den, saw the huge spits and giant cauldrons, and no sign whatever of the sheep, and, without saying a word, quietly took his departure. The lion inquired why he went off so abruptly without a word of salutation to his host, who had not given him any cause for offense. "I have reasons enough," said the bull. "I see no indication whatever of your having slaughtered a sheep, while I do see very plainly every preparation for your dining on a bull." The goat and the ass. A man once kept a goat and an ass. The goat, envying the ass on account of his greater abundance of food, said, "How shamefully you are treated, at one time grinding in the mill, and at another carrying heavy burdens," and he further advised him to pretend to be epileptic and fall into a ditch and so obtain rest. The ass listened to his words, and falling into a ditch, was very much bruised. His master, sending for a leech, asked his advice. He bade him pour upon the wounds the lungs of a goat. They at once killed the goat, and so killed the ass. The Town Mouse and the Country Mouse. A country mouse invited a town mouse, an intimate friend, to pay him a visit and partake of his country fare. As they were on the bare plowlands, eating their wheat stalks and roots pulled up from the hedgerow, the town mouse said to his friend, "You live here the life of the ants, while in my house is the horn of plenty. I am surrounded by every luxury, and if you will come with me, as I wish you would, you shall have an ample share of my dainties." The country mouse was easily persuaded, and returned to town with his friend. On his arrival, the town mouse placed before him bread, barley, beans, dried figs, honey, raisins, and, last of all, brought a dainty piece of cheese from a basket. The country mouse, being much delighted at the sight of such good cheer, expressed his satisfaction in warm terms, and lamented his own hard fate. Just as they were beginning to eat, someone opened the door, and they both ran off squeaking, as fast as they could, to a hole so narrow that two could only find room in it by squeezing. They had scarcely begun their repast again, when someone else entered to take something out of a cupboard, whereupon the two mice, more frightened than before, ran away and hid themselves. At last the country mouse, almost famished, said to his friend, "Although you have prepared for me so dainty a feast, I must leave you to enjoy it by yourself. It is surrounded by too many dangers to please me. I prefer my bare plowlands and roots from the hedgerow, where I can live in safety, and without fear." The Wolf, the Fox, and the Ape. A wolf accused a fox of theft, but the fox entirely denied the charge. An ape undertook to adjudge the matter between them. When each had fully stated his case, the ape announced this sentence, "I do not think you, wolf, ever lost what you claim, and I do believe you, fox, to have stolen what you so stoutly deny. The dishonest, if they act honestly, get no credit." The Fly and the Draft Mule. A fly sat on the axle tree of a charioteer, and addressing the draft mule said, "How slow you are! Why do you not go faster? See if I do not prick your neck with my sting." The draft mule replied, "I do not heed your threats, I only care for him who sits above you, and who quickens my pace with his whip, or holds me back with the reins. Away, therefore, with your insolence, for I will know well when to go fast, and when to go slow." The Fisherman. Some fishermen were out trawling their nets. Perceiving them to be very heavy, they danced about for joy, and supposed that they had taken a large catch. When they had dragged the nets to the shore, they found but few fish. The nets were full of sand and stones, and the men were beyond measure cast down, so much at the disappointment which had befallen them, but because they had formed such very different expectations. One of their company, an old man, said, "Let us cease lamenting, my mates, for, as it seems to me, sorrow is always the twin sister of a joy, and it was only to be looked for that we, who just now were over-rejoiced, should next have something to make us sad."